In the preceding week studies, we've been looking at the word gaze, and that we've recognized and identified the fact that the word gaze means to look or to focus upon. And we've looked through the Bible and recognized the many uses in the book. Last Lord's Day evening, when I preached the Word of God, we talked about the use in Hebrews 11 with Moses. And it is my purpose of heart at this time to speak of the Word in such a way that will be of great help in keeping us on the right road. The other lessons were designed in such a manner as to put a desire in your heart to be saved and to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, which this one is also designed, but also to help keep us on the right road. So many people are falling away, going by the wayside. And if we will but take time to look one more time at the word gaze, I think it could be of great value to us all. In the Hebrew letter and the 12th chapter, in verse 1 beginning, the divine word said, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against themselves, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." The first thing I want to look at in our study this evening is the fact that we need to gaze upon God. We need to pay close attention as we read Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 4, that there are at least three things we should focus upon: God, Christ, and heaven. And the first I want us to think about there is God. Let us know that what is involved in looking or gazing upon God. If we look away from God, we are putting ourselves in peril or in danger. If you take your New Testament and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you remember that when the Apostle Paul was writing, he talked about the God of this age, and he's talking about the devil. And notice what the objective of the devil is to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, he said, "Whose minds the God of this age has blinded," underscore blinded, "who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." The God of this world is the very one who wants to blind many from gazing upon the God of heaven. He doesn't want us to see the blessings God is giving us. He does not want us to see the love God has bestowed upon us. He does not want us to consider the goodness of God. So the devil will do whatever he can to blind us to seeing the goodness of the God of heaven. So in order for one to truly gaze upon God, they must put their focus upon him and not upon the world. The devil will do whatever he can to distract man from focusing his gaze or his focus upon God. But secondly, I want you to think about in the worship. In John chapter 4 and verse 24, Jesus said that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Notice, God is the one to be worshipped. We must keep our eyes focused upon him at all times. When we do not worship God, focused upon God, our worship becomes vain and useless. Our hearts must be upon the God of heaven. I focus upon him when I worship. When I sing and when I pray and when I partake of the Lord's Supper, I focus upon the God of heaven. But the third thing I want us to think about is his power. We must see the power of God, his creating power, as we read about in Genesis 1:1, where the divine word said, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Unless we see the true meaning of His power, we will not see the true picture of God. Today, there are so many that are trying to get men to look away from the creating power of God, and in so doing, they take their eyes off God. You hear all about evolution, you hear all about the Big Bang, you hear all about all these theories of man. And all of that is designed to get people to take their eyes off the power of the God of heaven. But that brings up the third thought. When I think about the love of God, I need to think about His love. We must never take our eyes off the love of God. In John 3:16 is the verse that I so often use to manifest the love of God, and yet I don't think we've ever touched the hem of the garment to that verse. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, my friend, I need to focus my attention. I need to gaze. I need to look upon the One who loved me enough to give His Son to save me from my filthy sin. Do you see the love of God? This is gazing upon the grace and the love of God. When was the last time we just through the day stopped and looked at how God manifested His love toward us? When was the last time, as one of His children, I think about the fact that He forgave me of my sins, and that when I fall short, He's still willing to forgive me, as is recorded in 1 John 1:9. And so I must continually gaze upon God. But the second one I want to talk about is gazing upon Christ. Take note that the Hebrew writer, as he said, looking to Jesus, that's gazing upon Him. That's fixing your attention, focusing your eyes upon the Son of God in such a way that we are not turning away from Him, but we are focused. Notice what it says about Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Now, just what all is involved in this? He says, first, look to His life. He serves as a perfect example for us in our life. He had to endure. He had to suffer. He had to die. And thus we must keep our eyes on Him or we'll grow weary. We'll grow faint. Then take note of verses 3 and 4. In verses 3 and 4, when He talks about that we consider the hostility from sinners against Him, lest we become weary and discouraged in our souls. Notice, my friend, we have the blood of Christ. Had He not died for our sin, we'd still be in sin. And we must never take our eyes off His life. I love what the Hebrew writer says in verse 3. Consider Him. Now, how often during the day do I consider Him? And I consider the blood that He shed. I consider the fact that He was the One who died so that I could have the hope of heaven. This is hard for the Word to think about for me at times, to think of the sacrifice of the Son of God. What love! And we must never take our eyes off the blood of Christ. If you want to see the true value of the church, my friend, you'll see as it's taught in Acts 20 and 28, we are blood-bought people. We are people that have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the true value of the church is to see how much Jesus was willing to pay for us. And this way, people would see the great contrast between the religious organizations of our day and ones who are truly redeemed by the blood. But I'll tell you something else. We need to look diligently. We must be careful and not just give this a glance, but gaze upon Him. To look away from everything else, lest we become discouraged. You want to know why so many people are quitting the faith? You want to know why so many people are going to religious groups that are not what they ought to be? You want to know why so many have fallen by the wayside? They have become discouraged in their soul. They've become faint. They've become weary. Why? Because they've not kept their eyes on Jesus. They've allowed the devil to distract them with shiny things of this world. They've allowed the devil to take them away from the truth of God. They've not kept their eyes focused upon the Son of the living God. I think about what he says later in this study. Notice in verse 15 of the 12th chapter. He says in verse 15, looking carefully. Underscore those two words. Why do I need to continue to look carefully? Lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Now notice that in verse 15, and notice it carefully. Look at the example of the man falling. He falls short of the grace of God, and thus bitterness springs up and troubles him, and he becomes defiled. To whom is the writer speaking? He's speaking to the ones we read about in Hebrews 12:1 that are running the race. When you are running the race, you keep your eyes focused on the prize. You keep your eyes focused upon the one you're running to. You keep your eyes focused upon the one who has given you the rules by which we run. Have you ever thought about how a child that is lost, when it first sees its parent, after being lost for a few minutes, it runs, and I'll tell you what it doesn't do. It doesn't take its eyes off its parent. And you know what, my friend? We've been lost in sin, and we've been saved by the grace of God and the blood of Christ when we were immersed into Christ. And you know what we need to do? Keep our eyes upon the one that saved us. We must look to Him as the judge at the end of time, as is taught in the book of Acts in the 17th chapter and verse 30. He's going to judge all men. But third, look at heaven. Look at the prize that is before us. Look at what he says to us in verse 1. He said, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. And not only do I look unto Jesus, but look at what it said Jesus is. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame. Look at where he is. He's set down at the right hand of God. Heaven. When was the last time we focused on heaven? We must gaze to heaven. In the Revelation letter and the 4th chapter, you can begin reading at verse 2 and read through verse 11. And you can think about the throne scene there, the throne room of heaven. And what it'll be like to be in heaven before the throne of God. And to see all those things that heaven offers. Or you can turn to Revelation 21. And in Revelation 21, what a beautiful scene. When you look in Revelation 21 and look at the first 5 verses. When John talked about that God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. He'll make all things new. We'll not be in a place of sin and suffering and sorrow anymore, but we'll be in glory forevermore. And I tell you, we must gaze to the prize, gaze to heaven, desire to go there, lest we become distracted and fall short. You know, my friend, one of the saddest things I've seen is people who've run the race, but they don't have any endurance. They start off well, but then they quit. They go somewhere that is not a scriptural work. They'll go somewhere and do things that are ungodly. They may leave the faith altogether. And I've seen people get up 50, 60, 70 years old and all of a sudden quit. They didn't run the race with endurance. And I'll tell you what they've done. Somewhere, they've taken their eyes from the goal, and they were distracted. And I'll tell you what, my friend. When they were distracted, they lost their focus and their aim, and they wandered off course. Now, I've been playing a little bit of golf with Charles, Jason, and Danny. And if they tell you that I don't hit the ball right, they're exactly right. I asked Jason the other day, what's wrong with my game? And he just hung his head and shook his head. He knew how to cut a man, you know. But you know what? I started hitting the ball. But you know what the problem was? Jason was hitting them straight. mine were going off course. And you know what we had to do? Spend a lot of time looking for my ball in the woods. And that's what a lot of people do in life. They get off course and they spend a lot of time, wasting time, looking for things because they haven't kept their eye on the goal. When I run a race, you may run the first 50 yards fast, but my friend, it's a race of endurance. Keep your eyes on the goal. How sad to lose your salvation on the last lap because you didn't keep your eyes on the goal. You see, it's not how you start. It's how we finish the race. And if you're here tonight and you're not kept your eyes on Jesus and you need to be baptized into Christ, or if you've wandered off track and you need to be restored, our prayer is that you would come together with us as together we stand and sing. We invite you.